Good afternoon. Brother Gracie from the Wichita congregation.
Desire and interest in your prayers. We appreciate the goodness of God. We're thankful for each one that's here present at this particular time. I'd like for the congregation to turn to number 52 and sing the fourth verse for us, please. Amen. We thank the Lord that we can love to serve the Savior. And I'm thinking of a thought, learning to do because we want to, not just because we have to. Now, self-discipline involves training and control of oneself and one's behavior for personal improvement. Now, in 1 Corinthians we find the Apostle Paul bringing some things to our attention. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse 27. And he speaks, "But I keep under my body." Now, this is something that he is putting out an effort to do. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And I'm thinking about doing what is right, even when we don't feel like it. Self-discipline is not always just because you feel like doing something, or just because you're in the mood to do it, which there are a lot of things that we may handle in that particular way, because we feel like doing those things. Now, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse 1, the word of God brings to our mind, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." There's a difference between just being a follower of God, and we know we want to follow after God. But I'm thinking about this, being a follower of God as dear children. You know, your parents may ask someone to take out the trash, and after 10 times they take it out. But you don't have to be told to take out the trash. You can get to a place where you actually know what needs to be done, and therefore you go ahead and do it. Even before they ask you to do it. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. In the Word of God is teaching us there how that we ought to think concerning things. 1 Corinthians 11 and 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So see, we don't really have to be judged. We have the privilege to judge ourselves first. Now the thought I have in this, that you can teach, you can keep ahead of your teacher. You know, teachers discipline people. But if you know what to do right, you don't necessarily have to be disciplined by the teacher. Your parents aren't there just to punish you, just to punish you. But if you learn what to do and how to do, you can actually make it along without a whipping. Now that may be hard to do, and I'm not saying I was able to do it. But the thought is that you can learn to actually discipline yourself, then your parents don't have to discipline you. Now it may seem like the policeman is just out to get you. But when you're doing 70 in a 60, if you can discipline yourself and slow down, then maybe you won't have to worry about him stopping you. You know what? I've had policemen come to deal with me sometime about maybe taillights on my trailer. Well, the thing is if you fix those type of things, then he won't be there to talk to you about it. You know, there are a lot of things in life that where we simply fail to discipline ourselves. And then sometimes we have to have somebody else discipline us. Now, I go to the workout gym. Maybe some people don't. But I do. Maybe it's not doing me all the good it should do. But you know, there are people there that are there not because they want to be there, but they're there because somebody almost forced them to go there. Now they talk about there are seven things that you can do to lead a healthy lifestyle. One of them they say is don't smoke. They say to know your blood pressure. They say eat a heart-healthy diet. Know your cholesterol level. Be physically active. Have the appropriate weight. Eat a low-sodium diet. Now, I wish I was getting an A-plus on all those items, but we won't go into the ones that I'm not. You know, but there is such a thing in the world that we're living in that there are 13 and 14-year-olds that are dealing with high blood pressure. 14-year-olds that are diabetic or on the verge of diabetics. A lot of this comes about because of the fact that people are not willing to discipline themselves. Now, in Genesis, the fourth chapter, we find there's an individual there, and God is talking with him. Genesis, the fourth chapter, as we look at verse 6 and 7, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We find here that in this particular passage that Cain has the opportunity to judge himself. Cain has the opportunity to bring himself into subjection. He has the opportunity to exercise some self-discipline. But he didn't. Now in verse 10, we find verse 8 that he rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? He said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground. And now thou art cursed from the earth. We see now that God is moving in with discipline. Cain could have disciplined himself. But now we see that God is moving in with discipline. And now thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I could bear. He would have been able to escape that had he judged himself. Had he begun to have some self-discipline. It's very important as we go through life that we actually have self-discipline. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and verse 6, it speaks to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, can you imagine a young man that's 30 years old, and his father goes to him and knocks on his door, comes on in the house and wakes him up and tells him, son, it's time to get up and go to work. Or son, you need to get some milk for your children. Or it's time to change the baby's diapers. But we would hope that somewhere along the line, he has begun to have some self-discipline. In fact, that's something that we would expect them to get a hold of as they go along the way. In Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, we find there are some parents that are bringing their child before the elders. If I can find just where it is. And it says that this, our son, is a glutton. He will not obey our voice. It says, and then shall they bring him out, and the congregation shall stone him with stones. See, in Deuteronomy, the 21st verse and verse 18, if a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father, or the voice of his mother, that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out to the elders of the city, and to the gate of the place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. See, what happened is that he failed to exercise self-discipline. You know, had he been able to do it, he didn't set up any proper guidelines for himself. You know, it's something to have someone set up guidelines for you, but then there comes a time where you need to have some guidelines set up for yourself. That you get in a place that you're not just doing because you have to do, but because you actually want to do. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, in verse 1, it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of his father. But we trust the time that's appointed of his father, that he will be ready to accept the responsibility." To begin to self-govern himself. In Luke, the 15th chapter, we have a very familiar story of the prodigal son. Luke 15 and 12. "And the younger said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth to me." See, he's finally getting a chance that I want those things that are actually mine, so I can do with them what I want to do with them. "And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." He came to a place where he was able to do whatever he wanted to do, but he had no kind of self-control lined up. Apparently didn't have any self-discipline. I don't know. Maybe he needed to experience what it was like as a young child to have $3 and go spin it and see how fast it goes. Or maybe he needed to have some time where he would go out and work all day and get $5 and then spend it all, to where he would begin to realize that I just don't want to go through life just wasting all my money. And then begin to actually set some limits for himself. You know, it's one thing to be in a place and doing things because you are restrained. It's another thing to have liberty to do, but yet to realize that it's not the wisest thing for me to do, and yet therefore I'm not going to do it. Ecclesiastes, 11th chapter, verse 9, says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." Seem like it's opening up that all these things are just right there at your disposal. And you find in certain parts of the scripture where Solomon is saying that I withheld nothing from mine eyes in which I desired to do. See, there's something there that, you know, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. Ecclesiastes 2 and 10. "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them." See, no restraint. I kept not from them. See, the Word of God is trying to give us some wisdom about the way that we handle our life, the way we actually deal with life. Are you going through life in an unconstrained manner? Are there boundaries that you need to be setting in your life? Maybe you're at a place where nobody else is there to constrain you and put boundaries on you, but are you constraining yourself? Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this is the portion of all my labor. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment because you failed to judge yourself. And it begins to come back on you. You know, and I can remember those days when I was just a young man. You know, and sometimes we think about all those things way out there in the mully grubs of sin. But I can remember those days of going into Godfather's Pizza with all you can eat and eating like a potbelly pig. And it's the same principle, that God will bring you into judgment. You know, and when you begin to consider the overall picture of things, and you see what God has done. Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now really, that's not a whole lot of restrictions. It isn't. And the point I want to bring out is that God had very few rules for man in the beginning. Now I want to show you through the Word of God why God began to actually institute rules. And God began to institute regulations. And when you begin to search into it, you'll find that it's because, at least my understanding, is because man failed to regulate himself. 1 Timothy, the first chapter and verse 8. But we may know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous. Now, I believe there was some president in time past that said, if all men were angels, there would be no need for the law. But we see that's not so. But the scripture is saying, knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane. See, the thing is, people that will not monitor themselves, people that will not control themselves. So then the laws are made whereby the law might control them. For murderers of fathers, for murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be anything else that is contrary to sound doctrine. So we see why the law was actually made. And back to Genesis, the sixth chapter. This is back in the days of Noah. And God is considering the things that are going on upon the face of the earth. Genesis, the sixth chapter and verse 5. And it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. See, man was not in a position where seemingly that he was able to self-discipline himself. Just seemingly not able to do it. The thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made him on the earth. And of course, we know that there came a time that God sent the flood and man was destroyed, except those that were in the ark with Noah. Then they began to build the Tower of Babel. And you find in verse 6, and the Lord said, this is Genesis 11th chapter, and verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. See, nothing will be restrained. There'll be nothing there to actually stop them from the imaginations of their heart. So God saw that it was actually necessary to go down and confuse their languages. Now, man had had a governor, so to speak, or man had had something within him that would tell him that, you know, this is just going too far. I'm not going to do that. But seemingly, man just seemingly did not have it. But it is a needful ingredient. In Romans, the second chapter, in verse 14, it says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law, see, not everybody have the law of God. But it says, do by nature the things that are contained in the law. See, even though they don't have the law, they actually have some constraints that they live under from day to day. You know, that's a good thing to have constraints, the Spirit of God to work with you, to tell you nay and to tell you yay. Something that can actually pull you in line. See, we have laws that are written in the land. You know, and maybe some things seem so terribly bad when the law is against it. But see, when the law moves out of the way, then where do you stand? Do you have anything else that's going to actually hold you in line? Well, marijuana's been so bad, and now seem like it's getting approved from state to state. So where are you with it? Do you have anything else that's going to hold you in line? I trust that we do. When the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. It's not all about the deep study and all the other things, and those things are good, but you need something deep down within you. Having not the law are a law unto themselves, which shew the work of the law. You need the actual work of the law written in their hearts. See, something written down in your hearts. Maybe you don't actually have the law, but you shew forth the work of the law written in your hearts. People that maybe haven't heard the gospel, people that maybe don't know all the things that we know about it, but deep down within them, they have an allegiance unto God. Deep down within them, they know how to have respect for God. See, I believe the things, some of the things that are written in their heart, I believe are found over there in Matthew, the 22nd chapter and verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Amen. And with all thy soul. See, living in a place where you're actually putting God first in your life. You may not know all the commandments, and you may not be able to quote the scripture from forwards to back, but you have something deep down within you that causes you to actually love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And with all my mind. See, and the word says, this is the first and the great commandment. See, you're talking about a people that have not the law. When the Gentiles, which have not the law, but do by nature the things that are actually contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. Which shew the work of the law written in their hearts. This is what I believe they have written in their hearts. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, the quandary that I find interesting sometimes is when you begin to find people that have the law and those out there that are doing by nature. See, Abraham is before the law. And Abraham is out there doing what he's doing. You know, she's my sister. All these other things that are going on, the people that have not the law, so to speak. But then you have Brother Job over there operating without the law. But he's saying to his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking. He got something that's actually written down in his heart, praise the Lord. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments. See, that to me, that's where it is in a nutshell. On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. If you want to actually walk after God, you can do it. If you really want to follow after God, God can give it to you in your heart, praise the Lord. You may not have all the studious ways of looking into it, but within your heart will be, Abba, Father. There'll be a love for God. Shew forth the work of the law written in their hearts. Their conscience also bearing witness. Their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. See, doing by nature the things that are actually contained in the law. You know, the Indians were doing by nature. Hey, amen. Maybe we don't want to really get into it, but when you study out history and you find that Christopher Columbus come over there, the Indians welcomed him in and his ship was aground somewhere and they went out to help him to come on in. Christopher Columbus, being what we would call a Christian man, went there and began to find out they had gold and began to want all their gold and began to try to make slaves out of them. But when you find those that have not the law, that are walking after the ways of God, says something to consider. Shew forth the work of the law. Written in their hearts. Something that's deep down within them. Do by nature. See Romans 1 and 26. You know, when you find people over there in verse 25, it says, it's speaking about what we might have going in the world today, same sex marriages and things of that nature. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now you have one people that are doing by nature. You have some people that are actually doing against nature.
Amen. They're not trying to follow after God. You find it over down in Genesis somewhere when, you know, when the angels came to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they come down to the place where they smote the men with blindness. And the word says they wearied themselves to find the door. See, we're talking about doing that which is against nature. Not even lining up with nature. Just going on their own with no self-discipline. Nothing within them to cut them off and say, hey, that is enough. You know, people like that, they need a law. Amen. They need salvation, praise the Lord. But they also need a law. They don't have no constraints. You know, the word of God is saying the whole city compassed the house. The whole city. You say, look like that. I have some laws in place. They didn't have any in place. And the people had no restraint in place. A people without laws and without any kind of restraint is a bad place to be in such a situation. Matthew, the 15th chapter, you have some of the scribes and Pharisees and people of that nature that are going along in the law of Moses with teaching them that, you know, even as the word says to bleed over there in Ephesians, to honor your mother and your father. You know, when he got right down and not just saying to mom and dad, I love you, and yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, but it got down to honor your parents and actually taking care of your parents. See, no, they didn't really want to do that. You know what I'm going to say? There will always be a controversy between those that love to serve God. Because they feel they have to. There will always be a controversy between those that serve God because they feel they have to. And between those that serve God because they want to. There's going to be a controversy. Amen. You know, you tell him, take out the trash. Well, you know, how often do I need to take it out? Well, when it's full, define full, push it all down in there. Just don't want to do it. But see, when you get in a place where you can say, I love to serve my Jesus. You know, these people were in a place where they were going along and they actually didn't want to take care of their parents. And so Jesus is actually dealing with that. Verse 3, and he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother. He that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mayest be profited of me. In other words, one scripture says Corbin. But I believe what they had going, they could give a certain amount of money to the priest. And then they would say, and honoreth not his father and mother, he shall be free. In other words, I'm just going to give some money and then I don't have to do this duty. You know, there's something there. I only do. Because the law is there. Therefore, I will do my best to go around the law. See, that's what it's dealing with. And people that just want to simply go around the law, then you need to create another law to stop them from going around that. And then another one to keep them from, they keep just wanting to go around the law because they do not want to have self-discipline and actually do what they know to do. It is Corbin. Just want to do it. Now there's something peculiar about the gospel message that I want you to think it over a little bit. Luke, the 16th chapter and verse 16. Says the law and the prophets were until John. you know, the law and the prophets. It didn't make no difference whether you wanted to abide by the law or not. The law could overtake you and force you to do it and put you to death if you didn't want to do it. But see, the kingdom of God is something different. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. You got to have some want to. See, it's just not going to come on you and just knock you down and make you do this or make you do that. But it said every man presseth into it. May God help us to give us more press so we can press into it by the grace of God. To actually have a desire to walk in the ways of God. It's not enough just to say that, you know, well, I'm here every Sunday. Well, I'm here, I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. But I believe that God wants us to have an actual transformation deep down within us to where we actually want to do the things of God. There is a vast difference between a man that is on the job and maybe actually hates his job, but he's on the job. Have you run across anybody like that? Especially those in public service. Now, I want to say to you, you know, you might be a real good preacher, but I want to know, do you actually love what you're doing by the grace of God? You don't have to love preaching in order to be a good preacher. And I'm going to base that down on Brother Joan over there. He did a good job. The people actually heard the word and they repented. But Brother Jonah did not enjoy what he was doing. I don't believe he could say, I love to serve my Jesus. If he did, what are you doing going the wrong way? But see, God wants to take this and get it down within us. You know, and the thought is, I love to serve my Jesus. It's not to be a place of where, a place of drudgery or anything like that. Hebrews 8 chapter. And we see what God actually desires. Hebrews 8 and 10, as we begin to close out. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind. Amen. And write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God. And they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me. From the least to the greatest. See, getting a hold of this in such a way that we're not actually doing just because there is a law. Now, the laws are needed. But I'm saying that we can walk with God in such a way that we're not doing it just because we're constrained of the law. Just doing it just because I have a fear that I'm going to go to hell. But the songwriter said as we close out, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. See, something about it, so in love with Jesus, you just want to turn it loose, praise the Lord. Not the feeling that, well, I'm going to have to give up this. I'm going to have to give up that. I'm going to have to. But I want to serve Jesus. Even as it brought up, somebody was speaking about not wanting to wound that tender conscience. See, there was an experience that they had with God. And they didn't want to make it up, mess it up. But something that's really there. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. May the Lord bless us as we continue on in our journey of serving God. That more and more won't be something that we just feel like something is pushing us. But the way I want to look at it is something is pulling us. The love of God is pulling us. Not that we feel like there's a whip behind us making us. But the love of God constraineth us.
pray for me.